Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 4. Matthew, chapter 4. We'll read verses 18 through 22 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Matthew, chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And let's finish on verse 22 together. Ready? And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. I'll read two other verses to you. You need not turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 and 14. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church. Thank you that when we come here, we know that you'll meet with us. We know that your presence will be here. We know that you will speak through our preacher with power. Father, please calm our hearts, open our minds. May we listen to the preaching. May we listen with the Spirit so that we hear what you have for us. Help us today, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
I spend an awful lot of time here at our church helping our people to grow. This morning's sermon will be a sermon that is specifically to saved people, those that are born again. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we of course welcome you to Him. We'd like for you to get saved and know for sure that if you died, you'd go to heaven. At the end of the sermon, I will make an application to the illustration that I'm using in regard to salvation. To those of you that are saved, we have an enemy, and it is Satan, and he's out to get us. And I want to talk to you about that for just a little while. We read in Matthew chapter 4, verse number 19, a very famous passage of Scripture. It says, And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. God calls us fishers of men. In other words, he's saying, you Christians, I want you to go out and catch men and bring men to the Savior and bring men to the church. So God tells us that we are to be fishers of the souls of men. We sing a little song. I will make you fishers of men, fishers of men, fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men if you'll follow me. If you'll follow me. God tells us he wants you and I to be fishers of men. Well, I got thinking then. That means God compares men to fish. This really doesn't have anything to do with the sermon, but I got to thinking, I wonder what kind of fish you'd be if God compared you to a fish. Would you be a catfish? Are you a woman with a mustache? Or a man. Or a man. It's just the funnier part was the woman. Would you be a carp? You know what a carp is? They have a mud vein. They're really dirty fish. Maybe you'd be a largemouth bass because you can't keep your mouth shut. You talk too much. Maybe you would be a shark because you're virtually a predator on people. You're the kind of person that hurts people all the time. Maybe you'd be a salmon. A salmon's a tough fish. They swim upstream. They're fighters. And so you know, a salmon swims upstream for the purpose of reproduction. And there are some people who are fighters for being reproductive in regard to their Christianity. They fight to win souls. They fight to be productive for Christ. Would you be a rainbow trout? And when I think of the rainbow trout, I think of course, the beautiful colors. Are you one that is a beautiful Christian with a beautiful attitude? Or maybe you're a jellyfish. You have no backbone. You won't stand up for anything. But that really has nothing to do with the sermon, but God is talking to us and compares us to fish. Now, let me show you something here, though. God said we're to be fishers of men and compares man and man's souls to fish. Then I noticed something. A second passage of Scripture that Brother Bush read with us is in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Listen to this. I'll read it to you. It says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." Now, don't you get this idea that every preacher out there is representing Jesus Christ? Because the Bible says here, there are some who are false apostles. They're deceitful workers. They transform themselves into apostles of Christ. But they're not. And then God says, and that's no miraculous thing. He said, because it says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." Here God says that even Satan tries to transform himself into looking like an angel. When it's talking about an angel of light, it's talking about a worker of God. Now, Satan changes himself to lure us to himself. I learned something a long time ago. Most anything that God does, Satan mimics it to try to get us off track with God. Most anything that God has, Satan develops some of it so he can use it to lure us away from the real McCoy, which is God and God's will. Most anything that God does, Satan copies it. He always has a little copy. So if that's true, and it is, the Bible says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." There's that transformation, that mimicking, that copying. Now, if that's true, and if God said, "I'm fishing for men, I'm trying to catch men for the kingdom of God," then you can be sure that Satan is also fishing for men. Satan is fishing for men. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 14, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." Notice, I'm talking to you about fishing now. Here the Bible says man is drawn away. We have any fishermen in the house? Raise your hand if you will. All right. Drawn away. You know what that means? Lured. Enticed away. Satan says, I'm going to mimic God, and what I'll do, I'm also fishing for men, and it is my goal to lure you into my trap. I want to lure you. I want to entice you. I want to draw you in so I may catch you. Now, look, if you're saved, he can't take your salvation away from you. That's settled. Once you're saved, you're always saved. But he can lure you in to steal your victory and lure you in to steal what holiness you have achieved in your life and lure you in to steal your spirit and lure you in to take the victories of life away from you. Let me warn you, God is fishing for men. So Satan says, "I think I'll throw a few lures in myself. I think I'll try to entice a few people and pull them away from God and pull them into my net and pull them into my basket. And I may not be able to take them to hell, but I'd like to catch them and mess up their life and put them on my stringer for a while." I travel and I go to different churches and preach. When I travel, I work. Someone will pick me up. I don't drive myself to the airport. I always have one of my staff men pick me up. We work. We work on church work from my house all the way to the airport. I get to the airport. I go in. I sit down and I work. I get on the airplane. And I work from the time the plane takes off to the time the plane lands. A pastor picks me up. They all know. They have a list of questions to ask me. We work from the time that they pick me up all the way till I get to my hotel room. I preach. I work after the services and before the services. That's just what I always do. But on a meeting about 6 months ago, I suppose, I had flown to Alabama. And when I arrived there, the pastor, he had some questions for me, and he asked me a few questions. And then finally, he said, "Brother Owens, I really need to ask you something." He said, I wish you'd consider this for me, please. He said, I could convince you to stay at my deceased father-in-law's house. And he said, what I want to do is I want you to stay. Everybody look right here at me. And he said, what I want to convince you to do is to stay at my deceased father-in-law's house. And he has a fishing pond there. And he said, I wish I could just convince you to take a couple hours and go fishing while you're here. And I said, well, that's not my routine. That's not usually what I do. He said, please. He said, it would be a dream come true for my father-in-law. He said, my father-in-law had spent his whole life, he worked hard, and he had been saving money. And for his retirement, he has a little cabin. And he said he's got a pond that he built. It's all stocked with some of the finest fish that you could find. He said he's got everything you need. He said it was my father-in-law's dream that he would grow old, he'd go down to that cabin and fish. And he said my father-in-law said one day he wanted you to be able to fish at that pond. And he specifically wanted that to happen. Well, then I was in a fix. What could I do? And I said, okay, I will. So I stayed in that cabin. I got done preaching one afternoon, and I decided, well, I better get out there and do the fishing that I promised I'd do. And I am telling you, it was great. This cabin, you could look at this big pond, and this guy is all private property. And I looked out at that pond, and I thought, boy, I think this is going to be fun. So I left my briefcase behind, and I went into it. There's a little cabin. Actually, it's like almost like a little garage. There's a little place where he stored all of his fishing equipment. I walked into that little shed, and oh my, you would not believe how well stocked it was. This guy was a pro. He was a true blue fisherman. Now I walked in. I looked at all that equipment. I thought, wow. I feel like I'm at Cabela's. This guy, he had it all. And he had gotten the pond finished, and this is what happened. The man had finished the pond, finished the cabin, finished everything. 2 months later, passed away suddenly of a heart attack. He virtually never got to fish in the pond. He just got it stocked. The weather wasn't quite right for the fishing. So there I was. Basically, nobody had fished the pond. It was all stocked. It was a man's lifelong dream to have this thing. And so I looked in that little shack or that little storage area, and I'm telling you, he had fishing pole after fishing pole after fishing pole after fishing pole. He had fishing poles for short people, for tall people, for skinny people, for the other kind of people. He had fishing poles for everybody. I mean, he had open and closed reels, and the rods were incredible, big thick ones and little skinny ones, and fly fishing rods. He had everything. Then he had a collection, like women collect shoes. This guy collected tackle boxes. I mean, he had one in every color. He had some with clear tops and hard tops and steel ones and plastic ones and fiberglass ones and some that float, some that didn't float, and some that had motors on them. And I mean, he had tackle boxes galore. This guy had nets and chairs and oars and life preservers and depth finders and a couple of boats there. And I'm looking at this and I'm saying, wow, this is incredible. And all of this was stored. So I grabbed me a pole. And I have a pole right here, Brother Bush. I grabbed me a pole, much like this one. Now, this is my fishing pole. But I grabbed me a pole. Then, let's see how this thing's doing this morning. Everybody watch out. That's a weight on the end of that. Oh, yeah, we're all right. About got me a sucker there. Brother Hawkins said right there. I grabbed me a pole, and I grabbed me a tackle box, and it was hard picking because there were so many to choose from. And I got a chair, and I headed down to that pond, and I started fishing. Boy, I cast that thing in. And, good thing I pulled it back. You know, I cast it and I started having a good time. Now, at first, I'm going to be real honest with you. I put a lure on it and I cast for a little while, but nothing was happening. You know, somebody asked me, Brother Owens, do you like fishing? Well, honestly, I like catching fish. I don't know if I like fishing. If we're catching something, I have a better time. The only reason I like to go fishing when I'm not catching anything is if I've got a bucket of fried chicken with me. I can eat that chicken while I'm not catching anything. I feel like I'm getting somewhere, you know? But I got to fishing along, and I'll tell you what, he had a tackle box, and it had a little bit of everything in it. And so, I have my tackle box with me today, too. And so, I don't have a fancy one like his, but I've got my tackle box, and I've got some tackle in here. I used to have a whole lot more tackle, but I have three boys. I used to have more tools than what I have today, too, and more money and more patience. Well, that's not the sermon. All right. This is my tackle box I have right here. Let's turn this thing around. Well, I fished and I fished. Well, I fished for a little while and I used a certain kind of bait and didn't catch a thing. So I fished for a little while and I changed to a different kind of a lure and I didn't catch a thing. And I got to figuring, those fish want something. I've got to figure out what they're looking for. And if I can find out what they're hungry for today, we're going to catch a fish. I could, you know, whichever side of the lake you're on, the opposite side is the side where the fish are jumping. You ever notice that? I hate it when that happens. Well, I was sitting there and I was fishing and I could see along the other bank fish jumping up and splashing and moving. And so I started casting to the other side and I'd change bait and I'd get a different lure and I'd get something else. And, you know, finally, I put a lure on there. Actually, what I ended up using was I just used a rubber night crawler that had some pre-secured hooks in it. Same color as a night crawler. I cast it in, start dragging it away from shore. A big old largemouth bass hit that thing. He swallowed it, and I gave it a little tug to set that hook, and that old fish come up out of the water, and his tail started a twisting, and my tail was a twisting too, because, buddy, if you've ever seen a largemouth bass come up out of the water like that with his tail splashing water, you say, "Ooh la la, baby, we got one." I was thinking I'm gonna be on a rod and reel show here, brother. It was good. He was a splashing. I love it when they fight, and I had some fun. Now, let me tell you something though. If I was smart enough to change bait until I caught what I was fishing for, I've got a hunch the devil's smart enough to change bait on you until he can figure out what he could use to hook you. I've got this feeling that if dumb old Jeff Owens was smart enough to catch a largemouth bass by going through a variety of baits, that the devil, who's been fishing for man far longer than I have, he probably knows that if he can't catch you with one lure, change lures. If he can't catch you with a little red worm, put on a night crawler. If night crawler's not working, get him a minnow. If the minnow's not working, maybe he ought to get him something else, maybe a spinner bait or something. I think the devil knows that. And folks, I want to tell you something. The devil is out to catch you. What bait will he use? And we sing, "I will make you fishers of men." But the devil sings, "I am also fishing for men, fishing for men, fishing for men. I am also fishing for men." See, he's trying to fish too. And I thought, you know something? The devil's got him a tackle box. And the devil's got him some lures. The devil's got some bait. And if I was smart enough to change bait so I could figure out what the fish were going to hit on, I think the devil is too. And I want to warn some of you today about the bait that the devil throws out there. I call this sermon, "He Changes Bait." He changes bait. Let me tell you right off the bat. He, the devil, is still fishing for you. He's still fishing for you. Those of you that are born again, those of you that are saved, no, he can no longer take you to hell. No, you're born again. You're on your way to heaven now. He can no longer catch you and throw you into the frying pan of hell. That's not going to happen. But he's still fishing for you, though. He may not be able to take you to hell, but he'd like to make your life a life of hell. He liked to make you miserable while you're down here living, and Christians are supposed to have victorious Christian lives. But he's still fishing for you, and here's what happens. You know something? There are some times when I fish, I use what I call still bait. I fish with something that you don't move it around. For instance, I have here in my tackle box. This is chicken livers and chicken blood. It's catfish bait. Let me tell you how I fish for catfish. I don't know how you fish for catfish, but I'll take this bait, and I'll take this catfish bait. Now, where I come from, we call them dough balls. Anybody here call them dough balls? We call them dough balls. And I take a dough ball, I'll put it on that hook, and you know, all I do is I cast it out there. I don't use a bobber. I let it go to the bottom. I just let it sit there. I call it still bait. Don't move it. Other kinds of bait, you jiggle it, you pull it, you twist it, it moves, it's alive. But a dough ball, look, it's basically dough with chicken liver and some chicken blood, and usually blood and dead liver don't move. Now, liver makes some of you move, but chicken liver and chicken blood on that dough ball, it's dead, it just hangs there. And you just cast it out there in that deep water, and you let it set there. And that catfish, he comes in on it nice and slow. Catfish are along the bottom. It's still bait. Now, here's what's happening in some of your lives right now. You don't see the devil flipping some spinning bait or some wild, slashing, splashing bait. And you're thinking, he's not here. The devil, he's not around. He's still not out to get me. Oh, I'm sorry. He's probably cast a piece of still bait in there. But he's still out to get you. You know, the devil's not giving up on taking you down. He's not decided to leave you alone. Don't drop your guard, Christian. The devil's out there somewhere, and he's still fishing for you. He's still casting your way, I promise you. He might have cast in, and you might be thinking, you know, he's not really been hard on me lately. He's not been around much. He's probably cast a dough ball into your area, and it's just sitting there, and he's suddenly going to surprise you. Don't drop your guard. Never think that he no longer wants your life. You listen to me. The devil still wants to destroy your marriage. You say, but Brother Owens, a marriage is going really well right now. Then you keep your antenna up, because the devil still wants your marriage. The devil still wants to destroy your ministry. The devil wants to get your children. The devil wants to steal your loyalty from the things of God. He wants to steal your spiritual dreams. Now listen to me. You're never too old for the devil to mess you up. You know, some of you've entered your senior years, and you've just been around for many years, you've been in the church for many years, and you get to thinking, you know, the devil, he really can't mess me up. You listen, as long as you're still alive, the devil's still fishing for your life. You say, but Brother Owens, I've only got a few years left. Then he wants those few years. He would like to get you out of church and get you out of God's will. And you say, Brother Owens, you know what? You keep preaching to those young ones about getting married and marrying the right people. But me, Brother Owens, I'm so old, it don't matter who I marry. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. You're to marry in the will of God just like the young ones are to marry in the will of God. Brother Owens, you just keep preaching to them young ones about how important it is to stay in church and stay faithful. But my life, it doesn't matter anymore. You're never too old for your life not to count. And Satan, he's still fishing for you. He's still fishing for you. You're never too young that Satan does not have an interest. Matter how young they are, Satan's fishing for them. You're never too spiritual to be out of the pond of life where Satan fishes. You say, well, I just read my Bible and pray, and I've been in church all my life. I was reared in church. My parents were good, godly Christian people, brought me to church all the time, and I feel just a little bit like I'm so spiritually trained. It don't matter what lure he uses. I've got it. I'm not going to bite out and snag onto that thing. Don't be a fool. Don't you be a fool. Better people than you have fallen farther and harder than you. He's still fishing for you. I don't care how spiritual you are, how young you are, how old you are. You say, I'm ungodly, Brother Owens. I'm ungodly. He's already got me hooked. Well, he'd like to get you in a frying pan and dice you up. Don't you get this idea that he's finished with you yet. And so no matter how you say, my life, look right at me, folks, look right at me. No matter how bad your life is, let me tell you something. It is His goal to make your life worse. Say, but Lord, I kind of feel like I got scars all over me from being snagged and hooked by the devil. And I kind of figure, I've wasted so much of my life, and my life is, I look back on it, and I've not lived a good life, and I've got scars all over me spiritually, and I figure He doesn't think I'm worth fishing for anymore. Let me tell you something. I don't care how bad your life is right now, He's still fishing for you, and He wants to take you for everything you're worth. It doesn't matter how bad your life is, He wants to make it worse. He's still fishing for you. Sometimes He uses still bait. Just cast it out there, lets it set, and He's waiting for you to go to it. He's not trying this heavy-duty allurement or enticement. He's just waiting for you to become cocky enough maybe, or arrogant enough, or relaxed enough that you forget that He's around. And all of a sudden, He sees you coming at it with a smile on your face very casually. You nibble, He sinks a hook, and you'll say, He got me! He got me! I did not even know He was a fishing for me. He's still fishing. He's still fishing. Oh my fishing stories. I enjoyed fishing so much more before I had four small children to take. My kids will tell you, when I was first teaching them to fish, all four of my kids, you take four children, my kids were, you know, they were just kind of stair steps. Starting, we probably started taking them fishing when they were three or four, and they went from three to five to six to seven, and I've got them all, and I put them all out there on the bank, and boy, by the time I get one line in the water, I go to kid number two, and I get his line in the water, I look back at line number one, it's hung up in a tree. And I'm trying to be fair, and I'm thinking, you know, I got one kid that's yanking on the tree, and you know, the branches are bending, and I got one now that's fishing, I got one that caught a tree, one that's got a bobber in the water, and I've got to go to number three because you got to get them all four at least a chance. So I go to number three, we get them out in the water, and then number two is now hung up on a branch at the bottom of the lake. I got one that's hung up on a branch, up in the sky. So I get number three fishing, and I move to number four. About that time, number three has smashed its bobber. You know, kids don't understand that bobber's made of plastic. Yeah, I got some bobbers in here. These are made of plastic. You don't bang them on the water and you don't splash them on the rocks. And so now I've got a bobber that's full of water because it's busted. So I got one hung up in the tree, one hung up at the bottom, one that's got a bobber that's busted and it's full of water and everything's sunk to the bottom. I get to number four and I finally get that line out in the water. By that time, all three of the first three are all messed up. I've got number four ready and it's my turn to fish. But what do you have to do? You go back to number one. You get them straightened out. Then you straighten out number two and number three and then number four. By the time you get number four straightened out, number one's messed up again. That'd make you a nervous wreck going fishing. Well, lo and behold, one day I got all four of those kids fishing all at one time. Mrs. Owens was there. I said, honey, I want you to fish. I don't want to fish. She said, I'm not bait and hook. I said, all right, I'm going to bait the hook, but I want you to fish for a little while. I don't want to fish. I said, honey, just fish for a little while. All the kids were being so serene and everybody, just nice, it's smooth. And they were all getting it. And so I got my wife I got her baited up. She went to cast and you heard that reel go. And then she said, honey, I can't see my hook or my bobber. She's looking out there. She looked over to me. I had a hook sunk in me. So my wife, she's watching for that bobber to land. And she had already sunk the hook in me. I got blood running down my hand. I'm trying to figure out how to, because when she couldn't see it, she gave it a couple good tugs. And I'm saying, whoa, 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 whoa. So now she's crying. She throws the fishing pole down. I ain't fishing anymore. I said, honey, it's okay. This happens. Never happened to me before, but it happens, I'm sure. Sometimes in the most unlikely way, Satan may move into your life. He may hook you. So some of you need to just be reminded he's still fishing for you. But wait, you know, when I was out there fishing, I tried a big lure. And you know, Satan may try to tempt you using a big temptation. You take, for instance, I have a frog. This is the original weedless frog. Now, I don't fish with a lot of big bait. To me, fishing with a frog is big bait. You're fishing for bigger fish that way. You don't catch a minnow with a frog. If you do, that's one big minnow. Mega minnow. But you know, you're going to catch a bigger fish when you fish with a frog. Listen, I tried that frog bait for a little while. You know, Satan may come along while he's fishing for you. He may use that still bait where it just sets there. Or he may use a big temptation to try to get you to go down. He may try to catch you on something real big, almost so big and so flashy that it catches you off guard. You may have a chance to do wrong and make a lot of money out of it. I mean, somehow the opportunity to get a whole lot of money real fast comes upon you. If you're not careful, you'll find yourself launching out into the deep doing something very wicked, very wrong, and there's been a great big temptation come your way. You take, for instance, do you know that Judas betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver? Now, we'd like to make out that 30 pieces of silver was very little. But you know, back then, there were people that worked for a penny a day. I don't know how much 30 pieces of silver would have been worth, but I think it could have been as much as a year's wage. Well, if that's true, let's use modern day terms. Somebody came along and said, you tell me where someone's at, and I'll give you $40,000. Would you have betrayed Christ? Well, let me tell you something. If Judas could be tempted in that way, maybe you or I could be tempted in that way. And you better remember, Satan's still fishing for you. He's trying to catch you. Is he going to use like that big frog that I use as bait? Is he going to use a big bait to try to lure you in? Maybe a big lustful desire of yours is going to be made available. Let me tell you something. Those of you that play lustful games in your mind with no intention of with fulfilling some of those things in your mind, if Satan ever figures out what it is you want that's in your mind, it's a big wicked thing, you better be sure he'll be tying that bait on the end of the pole with the hook, and he's going to dangle that baby in front of your mouth and try to catch you. You better be careful what you let go on in your mind. You better watch out for what sinful things you wish for. The devil may be looking your way. He may be watching you. He cannot read your mind, but he can read your body language, honey. Hey, buddy, you say, devil can't read my mind. Yeah, but while you're checking out some woman that you shouldn't be checking out, the devil's making photographs of all of us saying, it's obvious he wants a woman to come into his life. He can't read your mind, but he can read your body language. He can read your eyes. He can read the way you respond with your body. He can read the words that you say that are off color. What are you going to do if the devil brings a big one your way? And may I remind you, adultery is not a temptation that is beyond you. Murder is not a temptation that's beyond you. Rape and robbery. You may think, I'm above those. No, you are not. You better run from even the slightest thought of those kinds of things. Is it possible the devil's got a big old frog bait on the pole getting ready to throw it your way, and that thing's going to come at you, and in a moment you're going to make a mistake and you're going to grab onto a great big bait that could ruin your life? Would he catch you off guard with some sinful opportunity? I have a pastor friend in the west central part of the United States. He's in his 60s, and he told me this story. He said, Brother Owens, I was in my office one morning getting ready for church. He said, there was a knock on my door, and outside my door was a woman 20 years younger than me. He said, when I opened the door, she had a full-length mink or fur coat on. Said she knocked on the door, said, Pastor, may I talk to you for a second? He said, yes, ma'am, step in. He pulled the door shut. He said the minute that he pulled the door shut, she let her full-length coat fall off of her, and she had no clothing on underneath. He said, now, she was 20 years younger than me. He said, let me tell you what I did immediately. He said, I grabbed the door handle of my office. I threw it open. I ran up the hallway yelling, crazy woman! Crazy woman! Get her out of here! I'm so glad I knew to run from the bait. You say, my, how rotten of someone. How terrible. Let me tell you, you better know something. Satan is still fishing for you. And there's somebody here. I'll tell you, there's somebody here that is so low on the spiritual scale, you say, why would he do that? Why didn't he take advantage of that? Because he's spiritual. And he knew Satan was fishing to ruin his ministry. And he knew Satan tried to... Satan, listen, there's some of you, if he brought the little bait by, you'd say, no way. Well, if he's got to use big bait, he'll use big bait. He doesn't care what kind of bait, how big it is. He just wants to catch you and ruin you. And so, he's still fishing for you. He may use a big temptation to try to catch you. Or, he may use a little temptation to try to catch you. I have here a fly. Not a real fly. Fly bait. This is a fly. It's ever so small. It's a very small fly. Matter of fact, this particular fly is bigger than some. It's fly bait. Fly fishing. A little old fly. Mm-hmm. Satan may tempt you with something little. You know something? He may tempt you to steal just $1 from work. So what's the big deal about one? Well, you can't steal two until you've stolen one. Just a little fly. Just a little bit. He may convince you to steal $1 or one penny from your mama's purse, young people. Because you say it's just a penny, she won't miss it. Satan's keeping track. He's keeping track. And you better believe me that there's a hook on that little temptation. And he'll get you to steal a penny. He'll get you to steal a dollar. He'll get you to pocket some change that didn't belong to you. And he'll help you to start a long series of thefts in your life. And someday you may end up in prison because of it. Because, listen, just a little leads to just a little more. And then a little more. And then finally a lot. Satan does not care whether it's a big lure or a little lure. He just wants to hook you and pull you away from the will of God in your life. Just a little lust leads to big lust. Small, inappropriate touches lead to big, inappropriate adulteries. Small little letters to someone you're not married to in a chat room on the internet leads to filthy conversations and rendezvous. Small petting and necking, teenager, leads to big fornication, sex outside of marriage. The small misuse of your eyes will cause your eyes to have big filthy things unveiled to them sooner or later. Just a little lie leads to big lies. Eventually a life full of lies to cover up all the lies of yesterday. Just a little hatred goes a long way and it snowballs on you. A little bitterness gets into your life and it snowballs and it becomes big bitterness. There's a story of a man by the name of Achan. Achan served under the captain named Joshua. They were going to battle. They're going to fight at the battle called the Battle of Jericho. Jericho was an accursed city. It had been made very clear that they were not to take anything from that accursed city. And the city was full of riches. Probably millions of dollars worth of gold and garments and everything they'd ever dream of. They went to fight the battle. Achan had been told, like all the other soldiers, don't you take anything from that city. The things there have a curse on them. While Achan was there, he took a little bit of money. He took one garment and one wedge of gold. You know what happened? As a result of those little things that Achan took, the blessing of God was retracted from that army. A bunch of people were killed on God's side because Achan took one little garment. And then Achan, his wife, and all of his kids were stoned to death as a penalty for taking one little handful of things they shouldn't have taken. He's still fishing for you, folks. Will he catch you with the frog? Will it be the big, bombastic, major temptation? Or does he say, no, they're way too smart for that. I'll try to fly fish with them. I'll just use the little old fly. Listen, the size of the bait does not always determine the strength of the line, nor does it determine the sharpness of the hook. Hey, maybe he'll use a big temptation or a little temptation. Just miss one little church service to go out with your friends. Stay home, watch TV instead of come to church. There's a man sitting in this auditorium. He will know who he is, but I would not tell you in a million years who he is. And I know he will allow me to say this. You wouldn't figure it out anyway. He sat in my office not long ago and he said this, Brother Owens, I was getting further and further away from God. I was getting more and more backslidden. He came to me and he said, let me tell you where it all started. I stopped coming to church on Wednesday night. I missed one. Then I justified another. Then I justified another. And before long, I was missing church right and left, getting further and further away from God. And not long ago, he got right with God. He came to my office. He said, let me tell you where it all started. One little church service I missed. What was it? Fly fishing. Maybe you're too cautious for the big bait. Well, he has a small bait that's got a hook that's just as sharp in it. Small hooks can catch big fish. Some of you that are fishermen, when my daddy was first teaching me to fish, I got a big hook because I had big ideas. Boy, I get a great big old hook. I put that on there, tied on there. My hook was so big I couldn't even get that night crawler on it. I mean, it just diced my night crawler to death. My dad say, son, the whole object is to hide the hook. He said, you can catch big fish on little hooks. But he said, if your hook's too big, you probably won't catch a fish because that fish is too smart. He'll be able to see the hook. Now, some of you better stop and realize something. There's a hook in some of that bait that you're messing with, and he's going to catch you if you're not careful. He'll mess up some part of your life. Hey, number four, maybe he'll use an exciting bait to try to catch you. A spinner bait. I use spinner bait. Let's see. I've got, here's a whole collection of spinner baits. Boy, these things are neat. The sun will hit a spinner bait. That old thing, it just spins in the water. When you're pulling it through the water, it spins, it glitters, it's shiny, it's exciting, it splashes. Is the devil going to use a spinnerbait to get you? Is there going to be some wild party that you shouldn't be at where he sets the hook? Huh? Is it going to be a David and Bathsheba thing, something really exciting? Is it going to be a beautiful woman, sir? Going to be some woman that she smells good, her hair looks good. Is she going to entice you? Is she your spinnerbait? Going to be some fella that's tall, dark, and handsome, ma'am. Get down at work and his hair's always cut just right. And he wears some fancy cologne and he's got him some fancy clothes. And he's got him a fancy car. And you've been married to your husband for 20 years. And it's become an old hat, an old place. And you wake up in the morning and your husband has bad breath. And you know, he comes to the table and he's not got a good smelling cologne on and everything. Then you go to work and there's this really sharp fella. Now let me tell you something about that really sharp fella. He woke up this morning with bad breath too. You just weren't there, right there beside him to smell his breath. And that gal, sir, that you look at and you say, woo, does she look nice? Well, maybe had she given birth to two or three of your children and been through everything you'd put your wife through, she'd look like that too. So what does he do? The old devil says, I'll find me a spinner bait. I'm going to get something that's splashing, that's exciting, and it glitters. And I'm going to toss that out there because I think he's a little bored with his Christianity. She's a little bored with her Christianity. They're a little bored with the old-time religion. Now, around here, if you're bored with what's going on in church, you got the problems. You need some spiritual medicine or something. But I'll tell you, there are those that get bored. I'm bored with my husband. I'm bored with my life, my wife. I'm bored with my job. And if you're not careful, he'll throw that spinner bait out there, and it'll start a splashing and a glittering, and you'll say, whoa, oh, hey, boy, I'm 40 years old, and I've hit that, what the world calls the midlife crisis, and the world virtually talks us into that. We think that's supposed to happen. I hit that midlife crisis, and I'm bored with life. I think I'll go out and tie one on. I'll get me a new Corvette and cut my hair different, and women will start wearing mini skirts. If you've seen your legs, sugar pie, you'd keep that skirt down past your knees. I'll give me that spinner bait. That's what the devil says. And so, exciting, glittering. David looks down at a Bathsheba and says, whoa, that'll be exciting. Some wild idea or some wild relative that you have that you won't say no to. And so before you know it, you're in a mess. And the devil's got a hook in you because of that wild spinner bait. He'll put some wild idea in your head about the bright lights or Hollywood. You watch so much television, you think that the weirdos in Hollywood, the way they live, you're missing something in life because you don't live like them. So you're going to go, you're going to hit Las Vegas. You can go spend all your money at casinos because you've been watching Las Vegas, and you figure if you show up out there, some beautiful half-naked woman's going to meet you in the elevator like you saw on that show. You say, I'm going to have me a good old time. Buddy, you're probably going to end up in the elevator with a 400-pound woman. And they're going to get all your money, and you're going to come home empty. Yeah, spinnerbait. Hey, are you going to be enticed into sodomy, the life of a queer? You spend all your time laughing at queer eye for the straight guy? He's just using the spinnerbait, the excitement. Could he use the shock method of big excitement to catch you off guard and catch you? And I'll tell you something, folks. My life is around people. I watch people hooked by these things all the time. You know what he does? He just changes bait. He says, I'm going to try a still bait for a little while. I'm going to try a big bait. I'm going to try a little bait. I'm going to try a splashing spinner bait. He's just fishing. He's waiting to see which one you'll go for. He's not stopped fishing. He said, well, there's a little lull in my life right now, brother. What's happening? He's probably changing bait. Just changing bait. Hey, maybe he'll use a natural bait. Just a natural bait. Like earthworms. I have some rubber worms here. And these rubber worms, they're called gulp. They smell like, they look like, they have a scent dispersion. And these look just like earthworms. I could have one of the boys from our grade school come up here and eat one. They'd probably tell you they taste just like earthworms. Because we got boys in our grade school that eat worms every once in a while. I know it. These are 5-inch earthworms. That's natural. I use an earthworm to try to catch a fish. Maybe the devil will try to use something a little bit more natural. You say, but the ones I ain't stupid enough to go for the spinner. I'm not going for the frog. I'm not going to do that. Maybe he'll use a natural bait to catch you. You say, what do you mean? A family member that pulls you down. Now, family, that's a pretty natural relationship. Family. You're supposed to love your family, right, Brother Owens? Oh, absolutely. But you're not supposed to be like them. If your family's not right with God, you're not supposed to be like them. You're to love them indeed. That doesn't mean you have to approve of everything. Listen, there's some of you, you have parents. I think you ought to love them. I think you ought to be good to them. But I don't think you ought to live like them if they're not right with God. You might have a brother or sister that's not right with God. You say, well, Brother Owens, are we not all supposed to be good to one another? Absolutely, we're supposed to be good to one another. Be good to them and love them and be kind. But don't be like them. Don't live like them. Don't let them pull you down.
Good.
Rather than pulling you down at some big wild party, we'll just go to a family reunion and fit in at some things that we know are wrong. The devil says, gotcha. I'll use natural bait. Maybe you drop your guard and you're just backslidden at home. At home, you know what I do in my home really doesn't matter. You show me that in the Bible. You're live right at home. But home, that's a natural place. That's a natural place. You're live right the same at home as you do at church. I'm so tired of the hypocrisy of people believing you walk into the church and you live one way and you walk off the property and you live different. That is not what my Bible teaches, and your Bible doesn't teach it either. Hey, maybe use the natural bait of church. So you came to church and you met somebody down at the church. Well, let me warn all of you about something. This church is like a hospital. And there are some people here that are spiritually sick. I don't recommend that everybody at this church be made best friends. I think you ought to be friendly to everybody. But best friends, I wouldn't do that. You boys just say, I found me a girl down at the church. Well, you better check up and make sure she's the right kind of girl. Well, she goes to church. Well, the devil comes to church too. Are you going to date him? Some of you women say, well, I don't even date him. I married him. Well, I met these people down at the church. Well, let me tell you something. There's some people that sit in these pews that are not right with God. Now, I love them. Those of you that are not right with God, you're welcome to come here. We want to help you. We love you. But some of you better wake up and realize not everybody down the church is right with God. They'll lead you astray, get you into false doctrine. They'll gossip. They'll ruin the unity of the church. They're like that. I'm not glad of that. There are not a lot of them, but you better be careful. The devil might be fishing with some natural bait, saying, I'm the church, home, relatives, maybe in the Christian school. One of the easiest places in the world to backslide is in the Christian school. Everybody looks the same. Everybody acts the same, basically. Oh, but you better be careful. Well, they go to the Christian school. Well, there's some people that go to our Christian school that I would not recommend you be best friends with. Around other good Christian friends. Hey, maybe the devil come along and entice you with the bait of doing good things instead of the great thing that God wants you to do. For instance, did you know that mowing your yard is not a sin? But mowing your yard when you ought to be in church is. Right. Well, I wasn't in church, but I wasn't doing anything wrong. You justify not being where you ought to be because what you were doing was not necessarily a bad thing, but there was a better thing for you to do and you should have been doing the better thing. That's the natural bait of the devil. I stayed home to do good. At church time, you're to show up at church. That's the great thing. So you get that natural bait, and that's what the devil does. He said, I'm going to throw out some natural bait. You say, I never stay home and watch pornography. Okay, fine. What are you staying home at all for? I watched a cartoon instead of coming to church. The issue is not what you watch, though I don't want you to watch the worser of the two, but I'll tell you this, the issue is you should have come to church. And he uses natural bait to catch us. Hey, he may even, and you know something? You take the story of the Apostle Peter when he was following Jesus afar off on Jesus' way to the crucifixion. You know what Peter did? Peter just warmed himself around the fire. You know there's nothing wrong with the fire? He warmed himself around something natural, but there were some bad people around that he shouldn't have been around. And before long, he's denying, cussing, and saying, I don't even know Jesus Christ. You know what a fish says? I think a fish looks at a nightcrawler and says, what could be wrong with that? It doesn't even have any teeth to bite me. And the fish says, it has no teeth. It cannot bite me. I think I'll swallow that little squirmy worm. But there's a hook inside. There's some of you say, what's wrong with that? Well, what's wrong with that is you should have been doing something else that was greater. There was a hook in the goodness when you should have been doing something great with your life. I'm finished, but listen to this. He may even use some new bait. I've got something here. This guy in his tackle box, he had prototype lures. He had all sorts of things. This is called Buzz King. This looks like about a half a roll of aluminum foil with great big hooks. It's weird. It's like from outer space. It's an experimental thing. Maybe something new is what the lure will be in your life. You got a new job and the devil's going to use that to get you away from God. You're working with a new person, like the Buzz King. Ah, this thing just huge and wild and almost weird. I say to myself when I seen the Buzz King, I say, you're not really going to catch anything with that. They just sell that to dumb people that just want their cackle box full of lures. Don't laugh. I know you're thinking, well, you bought one. I know. The Buzz King. But it's something new. Is it going to be a new job that gets you away from God, or a new person at work, or a new student at the school? A new item in your schedule, a new desire? A desire of yours, a new desire that you have? Is it a new boyfriend or a new girlfriend? Is it a new boss at work that gets you away from God, or a new ship that you work on, or a new success that includes a new schedule? There are people in this church, I've watched you get away from God since you started a new job. Some do. Devil, hey, you say, I'd never go out and get drunk. Yeah, but you go for the earthworms, don't you? It doesn't matter to him what bait he uses. He's out catching fish. Satan says, I am also fishing for men. I am also fishing for men. If you follow my lure. I'll tell you something. If you're here today and you're not born again, let God catch you. Let God catch you. There's no way to get to heaven outside of trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you've never trusted Jesus, take the hook of the Savior, Jesus Christ. He died for you, was buried for you, and resurrected for you. And if you've never been born again, you need to trust Christ. He's fishing for you. He wants to save your soul and take you to heaven someday when you die. Get hooked on Jesus. Let Him save you. But if you're a Christian, you think, He's not fishing for me. No, He's just changing bait, because He's always changing bait, trying to catch us. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who here would say, Brother Owens, if I died today, I do not know for a fact I'd go to heaven. I don't even know if I'm saved. I don't know I'm going to heaven. Pray for me. I need to be born again. Will you raise your hand and say, pray for me, preacher. I'm not saved. I don't know that I'm on my way to heaven. I see a hand. Who else? You say, I need to be saved. I'm not going to heaven. I need to care for this. Who else would say, I need to be born again? If you're here and you're not saved, here's what's going to happen. In just a second, we're going to have what we call an altar call. In a second, the instrumentalists will begin to play. We'll all stand. The choir will sing a song of invitation. The men on this platform will leave their place. They'll step down the stairs. They'll stand at the front of the end of each one of the aisleways. And if you're not saved, you leave your seat. You walk toward the front. Walk up to one of the men. Say, I want to be born again. We'll take you in the Bible and show you how you could be caught by Jesus. You could be saved. You could settle the thing of your eternity. You could go to heaven. It's very simple. You come in just a moment when we have that invitation. There are some here, as I've talked about the different lures that Satan uses in our life. I hope some of you have woke up and you say, you know what, I'm going to be more careful. There's somebody here, you say, but the ones that say, I feel like I've already got his hook in me. Well, we'll help you get it out. The first thing you need to do is confess it to him. Get up here and say, Lord, I've messed up. Somebody here needs to come back to the Lord and say, I've been lured away. It's by one of these. Somebody needs to wake up and face it. Somebody, I warned you about a lure. This week would have been the week that you would have got that hook caught in your mouth, but I've warned you. Now run from it. How many would say, Brother Owens, God spoke in my heart in a special way this morning, and you'll raise your hand. Upstairs, downstairs alike, you may put your hands down. If you need this altar, you may come and use this altar. If you've been saved and never baptized or never made it public, you come. I'll ask the instrumentalist to begin to play in this moment. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need this altar, you come. If you're not saved, you come. If you've been saved and never made it public, you come. If you've never been baptized after your salvation, you come. Maybe you need to rededicate your life, you come. If you have been saved and you have been baptized and you're looking for a church like this one, we invite you to come. You can join our church. Name takers, you be ready to do your job. Work quickly but thoroughly. What's the lure for you? What has drawn you astray? Hey, senior citizen that says, oh, my life doesn't matter. How I live for what little bit of time I have left, that doesn't matter. Somebody's lying to you. Somebody's lying to you. Satan wants to use your life. He wants to abuse your life. He wants to catch you. Some of you have been drawn astray by some little fly of a lure. Are you saved? If you're not, why don't you come? Let us show you how to be saved. There are many other people down here getting saved right now. You can come join them. Have you been saved and never made public your salvation? You say, I've got problems in life. Let me tell you what part of the solution is. Get born again. Let Jesus help with that problem. In your life right now, so you think he's not out to get you, he's just very patiently waiting for you to make a bad move. Those dough balls for the catfish, they just mosey along ever so slow. Thank you, choir, and thank you, congregation.